We're going to continue our study on Return to Eden. And I want to take you, first of all, to a verse in the Bible that did not need to be in the Bible had a proper choice been made. Go to the book of Genesis chapter 5. The book of Genesis chapter 5. Now, I'm not sure if you're aware of the fact of how the first 2,000 years of human history, as recorded in the book of Genesis, unfold. Genesis chapter 1 is creation. Genesis chapter 2, the special effects of creation. Genesis chapter 3, the story of the fall of man. Genesis chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 5 is a genealogy. Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8 is Noah and the flood. Genesis chapter 9 is Noah after the flood. Genesis chapter 10 is a genealogy. Genesis chapter 11 is the Tower of Babel. And Genesis chapter 12 is the call of Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. That's 2,000 years of human history in the first 12 chapters of the book of Genesis. Why do you think the modernists do not want to say that is literal information, absolute fact about our beginnings? Because thus then they have to abide by what the Creator, we as the creation, what the Creator says will happen to us and be obedient to Him and follow His directive. But notice in those 12 chapters, there's two chapters of genealogies. Two very important chapters. The one, chapter 5, is from Adam all the way to Noah. And we talked about that is proof that Noah thus was found perfect in the eyes of the Lord, chapter 6. Not perfect in that he never sinned, because he did sin. He was born in sin, Psalm 51. As a baby, he came forth telling lies, Psalm 58. So that was absolute as far as he was concerned. He was perfect in that he did not have an evil angelic bloodline in his system. Thus, a pure virgin somewhere down the line could be available to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit and bring forth the Messiah. That was a promise made in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. So one of the main purposes of that genealogy, you can learn so much from genealogies, is that from Adam to Noah, no evil angelic bloodline in there. Then from chapter 10, from Noah forward, it shows the obedience of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their four wives, being obedient to what God said to do, and that was to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. So many wonderful things. You know, you get to a genealogy. Maybe in your quiet time, you're reading the book of Numbers, and you say, so-and-so begot so-and-so. So this is ridiculous. And you speed read through that and get over there to something good, like the book of Leviticus, you know. But it's exciting to really dig into the genealogy. Look at, if you got chapter 5, let's look at this genealogy. We'll get to verse 5 in just a moment. But just imagine with me the experience it would have been to be included in this period of time. Verse 1, chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Noah in the day that God created man in the likeness. Genesis. Oh, I'm sorry. I went to night school. It's difficult to read in the daytime. This is the book of the generations of Adam in the day. You're supposed to correct me privately afterwards. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and he blessed them, and he called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now this is not the first child that Adam and Eve of course had had. You go back to chapter 4 and you see they had Cain and Abel, possibly twin sons. We're not absolute. We know that Esau and Jacob were twins. It says that, but possibly Cain and Abel were twins as well. And then they were able to get married and they were able to start having children. Somebody always asks, where did Cain and Abel get their wives from? It was their sister. That's the only explanation. There was nobody else. And there was a pure bloodline. And so that type of intermarriage, it was not incest then. It was the relationship that God had laid out for. And ultimately, that spread out and it was able to change. But now Seth comes along after 130 years. Now, can you imagine just being alive in that time, being one of the sons of Adam, realizing he was the very first man, and your mother the very first woman, and they had had contact with God? What an experience. I just was thinking as I was reading this last night and this morning, it just wound my clock. I got really excited in the Lord to have been able to be there. And verse 4, and the days of Adam after he begot Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters, many of them. They were to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. That was the command God gave unto them. It's the first command in the Word of God. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. We have turned that in reverse today. Ours is not to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Ours is to have 1.3 children. I don't know what the 0.3 kid looks like. Maybe it's a 9-pound ear or something. I'm not sure. But, you know, that's the way. That is the way today. We have world watchers saying that we are overpopulating the world. That is the biggest lie that I've ever heard that's been perpetrated upon the world. Do you know that you can give every single person on this earth, 6.3 billion people, 2 square feet of land, and put everybody standing on 2 square feet of land that lives on this earth in the city of Jacksonville, Florida? Every single person could stand up in Jacksonville, Florida on this earth in the city limits. I checked it. I called Jacksonville. I asked for the statistics and their borders, and I didn't divide it. You can go to Texas. You can divide the whole world into families of four and give everybody 100 by 100, put them a little cottage on there, and everybody on the earth could live in the state of Texas. 6.3 billion. We're not overpopulating this world. We're in the face of God. I'm sorry, I chase rabbits once in a while, but rabbits, speaking of rabbits, they've done the job what God told them to do. But we have not. We have not been obedient. I'm sorry, I'm terrible. Now look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. That verse did not have to be included in the Word of God. That verse did not need to be there. Adam made a wrong choice. He could have lived forever and never have died. God's provision was the tree of life. God didn't say you couldn't eat of the tree of life. Go back to chapter 2. Remember the Garden of Eden? Our whole subject is the Garden of Eden. In chapter 2, he lays out the garden. He takes Adam, verse 8, chapter 2, Genesis. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward or after in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now he specifies these two trees. The tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And he's going to give specific directions about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Go over here to verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. He didn't say you can't eat of the tree of life. That tree of life that would sustain him throughout eternity, had he chosen that tree to eat out of instead of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The only tree in the garden he could not eat of was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you thought about that, that really kind of escaped me until just recently when I came to the conclusion he could have had the tree of life forever. In fact, what happened was, when he was deceived by the deceiver, Satan, in the form of a serpent, what did he say? Look over here in verse 4. And the serpent, of chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, causing her to doubt, using deception, distorting what God actually said. She had already distorted it. She said in the verse before, we're not to eat of that tree or even touch it. He didn't say he didn't touch it. He said, don't eat of it. And then the devil comes along and said, oh, you're not going to surely die. God's not going to kill you. We just read the verse, Adam died after 900 and some years. But he could have been eternal. The result of his disobedience was death, thus separation from a relationship with God.